إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، I want to remind myself and you about the importance of focus. And this is the specific meaning of the word Ihsan. Ihsan is translated in many ways. Sometimes it's translated as excellence and so on. But the way I like to translate Ihsan is focus. Because excellence is the result of focus. Excellence is not by itself, it doesn't happen. And if you want a result, you have to look at the cause. People like to talk about peace. And they say we should have peace. But peace is the result. The cause of peace is justice. You cannot have peace in the presence of injustice. You cannot simultaneously want to oppress people and then you want to have peace. You will not have peace because if you oppress people, people will fight back. And their fighting back is going to be a breach of peace. But where does the fault lie? The fault lies with the people who are oppressing, because there is no peace because there is oppression. So for any effect to change, if you want to change an effect, you have to look at the cause. Unless you address the cause, the effect will not change. And that applies to everything. It applies to whether you are looking at reducing weight or increasing strength or whatever, increasing knowledge. You have to look at the cause. And therefore, Ihsan, the cause for Ihsan is focus. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he say about Ihsan? He said, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. Which is focus. You are completely and totally focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not on anything else. So focus. And focus, as I like to describe it, is the art of ignoring. If you want to focus on something, you have to ignore something else. Focus is the meaning of convergence. It's not the meaning of divergence. You cannot focus like this. You focus this way, right? Divergence. If you see any of the, I suggest that you watch one of the movies of the Serengeti Plains, the migration of the wildebeest. And in that movie, invariably, you will find, they will show you either a leopard or a lion hunting. And you will find that once the lion fixes on a particular zebra or a particular wildebeest, then that lioness will go for that particular animal only. And there are sequences when you see that movie where there are 50 animals running alongside her, right next to her, but she will not even look at that animal. She will look only at that, the one that she fixed on. And she will not get defocused because of the others running close to her. All of them are equally edible. But she is fixed on that one and she goes for that one. That's the meaning of focus. The focus is the art of ignoring. Focus is the art of not looking at everything, but looking specifically at something. Now, why am I saying this? Because this is directly related to how we learn. We learn what we want to learn. We see what we want to see. Those of you who have read Sherlock Holmes, you know, the novels of Sherlock Holmes, the great detective. Sherlock Holmes has a sidekick called Dr. Watson. And Dr. Watson is always very amazed at the fact that Sherlock Holmes finds those clues that lead to solving the crime. And he always has a statement, he says, "My God, Mr. Holmes, how did you see that clue?" And Sherlock Holmes has a standard reply and he says, "Dr. Watson, I saw it because I was looking for it." And that's a very pointed statement. He said, "I saw it because I was looking for it." And I sometimes tell people as an exercise, that when you are driving home today, look for red colored cars. Look for red cars. And I can almost bet you that you will find at least one red car. And you came the same way in the morning, but you wouldn't have seen any red cars. You were not looking for red cars. But now when you're going back, you say, I'm looking, look for red cars, you will find a red car. It's not that, it's not magic. It's just the fact that you are looking for it, so you will see it. Right? That car was always there. And most people, their commuting habits are very regular. So if there is a particular person driving down a road at a particular time, then chances are that that person is going to go down that road at that time every day. So that red car was there anyway. You didn't see it because you weren't looking for it. The same thing applies, as I said, to learning. That's the whole point of this, that we learn what we want to learn. The reason I'm saying that is today, we seem to have an attitude where we look for the faults of people. Yeah, we don't look at the good that comes from them. We look at their faults. I remember one incident where this sheikh gave this beautiful bayan, very, very beautiful talk on the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. And after the talk finished, there was this one young person in that crowd who went up to the sheikh and said, Salaamu alaikum, and your talk was very good, but I noticed that you drank water with your left hand. Yeah? Now, I was there and I saw that the sheikh was holding the microphone in his right hand. So, he drank water with the left hand. I am sure that before drinking water, he would not have made this niyyah. Oh Allah, I am drinking water with my left hand only to destroy the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and only because I want to rebel against your glory. Did he make this niyyah before he drank water with the left hand? Or he drank water with the left hand because he is human, he forgot. He didn't realize, he just picked it up, he was thirsty, he had the microphone, this, that, it's illogical to expect that he shifts the microphone into this hand and he picks it up, right? But this young person, in all that lecture, the one takeaway the person had was, the sheikh drank water with the left hand. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So what did that person get? He got this thing, this great virtue of knowledge, that the sheikh drank water with the left hand. I'm saying this because Allah subhanAllah, today, you know, I have benefited so much from my teachers. From the earlier stage, I benefited so much from my teachers. And I can tell you that none of my teachers was a Nabi. I did not learn from any of the Anbiya. I can assure you this, that I did not learn from any of the Anbiya. So my teachers were not masoom. They were not mahfooz. Allah did not protect them from mistakes. Jibreel alayhi salam did not come and teach me anything. I can assure you this, right? Jibreel alayhi salam never taught me anything. So, I did not learn from the malaika. I did not learn from anbiya. I learned from normal human beings who made lot of mistakes. Who made lot of mistakes. But I can tell you, if you ask me today specifically what mistake did so-and-so make, I probably would not even remember. And most certainly, I never went to my teacher and pointed out a mistake. Never, never, never. And if that is a sin, then I ask Allah to forgive me from that sin. But I don't think it is a sin. I think that's a sign of adab. It's a sign of adab. My father was one of my teachers. And today I can say that, you know, in those days, I still remember the first time I heard the word tajweed. And maybe this is my own ignorance and because, you know, I'm a nincompoop or something, but the first time I ever heard the word tajweed was when I was maybe 16 years old or something in high school. And one of our friends, his father had gone to Saudi Arabia and he brought these cassette tapes of the recitation of, you know, one of the qaris. And I realized that this recitation was different from what we normally hear in India, or used to hear in India at that time. So I asked him, I said, what is this thing? He said, nahi, ye tajweed se padha gaya hai. He said, this has been read with tajweed, with the usul of tajweed in mind. So I said, achha, tajweed bhi koi cheez hoti hai. This is something called tajweed. What is tajweed? God knows. So my father, I can still say, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him, but he did not know Tajweed. So he read the Quran whichever way he was taught to read the Quran. So if we sit today and say, my father's recitation, how many mistakes can we pick up? Then I'm sure you can pick up maybe, you know, 15 mistakes per ayah or something. Allah knows. But my father's connection with his Rabb, this Quran which he wrote, which he recited incorrectly, because no one ever taught him and he never learnt, he recited incorrectly, but he recited it from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. for 45 years of his life, without missing a single day. He would pray tahajjud, he would wake up at 2 or 2:30 in the night, he would pray tahajjud, then he would recite Quran until the time for Fajr, and then he would wake us up to pray Fajr. And I have complete faith in my Rabb, that my Rabb's mind is not as small as the mind of some of our people. And therefore my Rabb would focus on the fact that his poor slave made a mistake because he didn't know. He was not trying to destroy the kalam of his Rabb. He was not doing it deliberately to anger his Rabb. And so he forgave him, inshallah. And so he accepted his recitation as if it was the most beautiful recitation in the world. Ta'ala lahul amthal. When our children, small children, when they speak incorrectly, jisko Urdu mein totlana bolte hain, when they speak incorrectly, we find it so endearing. We don't accept the same mistake when the child is older, when the child should know better. But when the small child says something in a faulty way, we find it very endearing. We love the child for that. And I ask Allah to treat my father in the same way. Huh? The point I'm making is that this tendency to look for faults is the worst damage that you can do to yourself. Worst damage. You believe me, you don't, it's not damage for anybody else. But alhamdulillah, if you point out the fault of some sheikh, I'm sure the sheikh has enough sense and enough, you know, wisdom and enough wusat-e qalbi to accept it. And he will say, alhamdulillah, okay, fine, so this is a mistake I made. May Allah forgive me. He makes tawbah. So he's fine. But what happened to you? What happened to you? You spent all that time sitting in the company of that sheikh looking for faults. And the only thing you took away from that time you spent in the company of that sheikh was the fact that the man made a mistake. So big deal. So big deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men to make mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to make mistakes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the sahaba, he said, if you did not make mistakes, if you did not commit sins, and if you did not make tawbah and ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a people in your place who will commit sins and who will make mistakes and who will ask for his forgiveness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to forgive. Allah likes to forgive. So if somebody makes a mistake, big deal. His Rabb is there to forgive him. But what did you get out of it? As I told you, I can look, I can think of the many asatiza who I have had and who I continue to have. And as I told you, none of them was a Nabi and none of them was an angel. So they have mistakes. But who cares? Not me anyway. I don't care. Number one, I don't care. Number two, not even in my dream, not even if somebody holds a knife to my throat or a gun to my head, will I ever tell an ustad of mine that he committed a mistake. Not me. I will never ever tell an ustad of mine that he committed a mistake, no matter what he did. That is between him and his Rabb. Let somebody correct him, let his Rabb find someone else to correct him. That person to correct my ustad is not going to be me. It has never been. And inshallah al-musta'an, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep me away from this horrible evil of pointing mistakes from your own elders, from your own asatiza. Let us focus on the good that comes from them, which far outweighs whatever that little mistake that you were so clever and so, you know, amazingly proficient at finding. Because the biggest problem is, and this comes from shaitan, this pointing mistakes of the elders, pointing mistakes of the asatiza, pointing mistakes of the teachers is purely from shaitan. Let me assure you, purely from shaitan. Why? Because it reduces the respect that you have for them in your eyes. It reduces the respect that you have for them in your eyes. And therefore, you lose respect for what comes from them. You are the loser, 100%. Each one of us must have a muslih. Each one of us must go to somebody for his own islah. That is our responsibility. But if I go to you as a student, I am not your muslih. I have not gone to you to make your islah. I went to you to learn from you. Let us be very clear in our minds with regard to our roles. When you go to somebody to learn, you went there to learn. You did not go there to teach that person. You did not go there to make islah of that person. You did not go there to correct that person. Don't fall into that trap. If that becomes your focus, believe me, purely and 100%, that is from shaitan. Make tawbah, ask the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan. Take some sellotape and stick it across your mouth. Keep your mouth shut, listen and go. Don't point out mistakes of your asatiza. Don't point out mistakes. If you focus on mistakes, that's the only thing you will take back from there. Plus, the respect of the asatiza will fall in your eyes and you will be the loser 100%. Let the ustad go to somebody else for his own islah. No problem. I am not saying that the ustad is perfect. No. The ustad also needs correction. No doubt about this. Let him find his own correction. You are not the one to correct him. It's not your job. It is not your job. And the reason I'm saying it is not because of the people here, but because this goes to thousands of people all across the world. And there are many young people today, alhamdulillah, they're interested. They go to learn and so on and so forth. But without tarbiyah. Without tarbiyah. Nobody taught them adab. So they go to learn without adab. And that is why they get nothing. They get nothing. They think they got something because they got a book from somewhere, they got a binder from somewhere, they got some notes from somewhere, they got a YouTube link from somewhere, they got a CD from somewhere. That is not knowledge. That is not knowledge. Worms eat that. That rusts in the rain. That can get stolen. Imam Ghazali was going somewhere and in a caravan and there was a bandit who attacked this caravan and he was taking him everything. And Imam Ghazali said to him, leave my books. Don't take my books. He said, why? Imam Ghazali said, this is my knowledge. So the bandit laughed in his face. He said, this is your knowledge? He said, what kind of knowledge is it that I can steal it? He said, what kind of knowledge is it that somebody like me can steal it? That's knowledge. He said, that's valueless. So if you think that you're collecting books, and this is knowledge, believe me, that book is not going to help you. Knowledge is what comes, the ihsas, the istihzar of the ilm. Knowledge is what keeps you, your focus when you are standing in salah on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is knowledge. Knowledge is what happens to your heart when you listen to the recitation of the kalam of Allah jalla wa'ala. Knowledge is what happens when you are standing alone in tahajjud, when you are making sujood in tahajjud. Knowledge is what happens to you at that particular point. That is knowledge. Not some book you found from somewhere or you read from somewhere. Today we are all stuck with these things, with titles and with... And that's why the whole tanqidi mizaj hai, critical temperament of finding fault with people. And especially finding fault with our elders, finding fault with asatiza. People ask questions, huh? Somebody is asking a question about Hafiz ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani. And he's saying, do we consider him to be a Muslim or not? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi. I mean, how does somebody ask this question? And then he's pointing out at some interpretation of Hafiz ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani. His book, Bulugh al-Maram, is an authority on the fiqh. The ahadith from which the ahkam of fiqh are extracted, this book is a compendium of that. And somebody is asking this question to some sheikh, saying, do we consider Hafiz ibn al-Hajar? So, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to call this individual who wrote this email? I'm trying to remain polite because I'm sitting here. Is Allah going to call this man when he calls Hafiz ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani and ask this man, now what shall I do with this man? Ibn al-Hajar, shall I throw him in the fire? Please tell me your opinion. I would like to ask your opinion. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. And nobody is free, believe me, nobody is free. This is a very horrible temperament that we have. We need to make tawbah and get this out. Get this out of us. Forget about people's faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask your opinion. Take the good that you find from people. Alhamdulillah. And if there is a fault in them, then you stand in the night and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, this teacher of mine, I saw him drinking water with his left hand. Oh Allah, make an angel there who will hold the microphone which he has in his right hand, and then let the angel give him the water in his right. If you are so interested, make this dua. Stop finding faults. Focus on yourself. Focus on your own learning. Focus on the good that comes from people. That is what you will get. Otherwise, as I said, like the red cards, you focus on the evil, you will end your life with memories of only evil, with memories of only other people's mistakes. And at the end of the day, you say, what did you learn? You learned nothing. You all learned only which mistake who made. And that is entirely useless because you are not going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about other people's mistakes. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to that which is beneficial for us and to save us from that which is not beneficial. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to close our eyes to the mistakes of everybody. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us with His mercy so that our mistakes are also invisible to others. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and because He is Ghafurur Rahim and He likes to forgive. And we ask this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you like to forgive, so forgive. The dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. Oh Allah, you like to forgive, so forgive. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us into His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.